This is the Coach Les Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Denver, here's Coach Les.
Welcome back to the Coach Les Show, live downtown Denver, Colorado. 16th Street Mall, 16th and Champa. Hey, if you have any questions, you can text us 303-961-7799. This hour of the Coach Les Show is brought to you by Marquee Prints, M-A-R-Q-U-E-E, Prints. Hey, right now, though, I have my man Adam Stites on. SB Nation, he covers the NFL. What's going on, Adam? How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
All right, man. So, I know you cover the whole NFL, but obviously you like Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm looking at your Twitter page, and I see you have Ramsey and all the guys up. It looks like the DBs, you got those guys up. So I'm looking at your jersey. So you're rooting for Jacksonville all the way, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was before I ever covered the NFL, I was a Jaguars fan, and it's a fun time to root for the Jaguars. They're just a fun team in general this year.
Yeah, no, they are. This year they've been great. Well, they had one good year. Weren't they the team that beat the Broncos back in like 92, 93? Was it Jacksonville?
That was 96 where they knocked off the pulled off the big upset. And then 99 was another good year. But yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay. Well, they're there now, man. So what did you think about this game?
Surprising, 45-42 is not really the score you expect to see from the Jaguars, but it was as much scoring as it was. It wasn't like the Jaguars defense really had a terrible game. There was a lot of yards, but they still did what they did, and that's kind of create chaos. They had two turnover on downs forced. They had an interception that set up a touchdown, and they had the fumble recovery for a touchdown. So, even though they gave up so many points, it's still, the Jaguars defense just does what it does, and that's kind of create on its own. So, whether they win 10-3 or 45-42, that Jaguars defense is still, something to be reckoned with.
I know. Now, if someone had told you that Jacksonville was going to score 45 points before this game, would you have said, yes, they can do that?
Probably not. No, I would have thought it would have had to take more defensive points than it took. They did get the one touchdown, but even last time they played Pittsburgh, they got 30 points, but that took five interceptions, and so I wouldn't have expected that many points. They have had random explosions of scoring where they did it against Baltimore earlier in the year, so it's not that unusual. But no, I didn't expect them to score nearly that much.
Okay, I'm going to get to the other games. Before, I want to ask you another quick question, too, especially considering you like Jacksonville. I'm talking about New England. I don't see New England being able, if they fall behind with the defense that Jacksonville has, to come back. Do you think that's possible? Do you think that New England can get a lead with this team and then it's over?
I think that the Jaguars can find points, but All year it's kind of been like that, and that's not even Patriots specific. That's really just in general, where if the Jaguars don't get a good start and they fall behind early, they're just not a team that's built to kind of come back like that. So, I think you're right. I think if the Patriots jump out to an early lead, I don't like the Jaguars' chances of coming back. And the Patriots are definitely capable of that. And it's been a problem really all year for the Jaguars. They kind of have to start off strong.
Yeah. All right, so Philadelphia, this is another team because supposedly Jacksonville, no way they're going to win. Philadelphia, no way they're going to beat. They're going to win as well. Philadelphia won, too. What do you think about their chances coming up this week?
I don't think it's that crazy to think that they could win, too. I think just if you have a really good defense, you're always going to be in it. You just don't see teams with great defenses get blown out. A great offense could get blown out just because, the defense might give up a wave of points. So I think, I think it's why we've seen so many really good games this year, is that we got the Vikings, the Jaguars, and the Eagles all have top five defenses. Even the Patriots are top five in points allowed. So, I think the Eagles have a shot. they're just going to need to run the ball against the Vikings and probably force some turnovers, and both of those aren't easy against Minnesota. I would still pick Minnesota, but I don't think that it's a complete gimme for the Vikings.
Minnesota. When you look at Minnesota, Minnesota, so you got Blake Bortles. You got Foles that's in right now. We know he won't be there come next year when the season starts. And then you have
Case Keenum, yeah.
Yeah, so you got these three. You got Case Keenum. Are we looking at two guys that's going to be starting next year again, talking about Case Keenum and Blake Bortles? Or is Bortles gone and Keenum is gone?
I'm leaning towards, yeah, I think probably both of them gone. And I think if either one of them won a Super Bowl, I think they could probably save their job and be back next year. Maybe even making a Super Bowl would be enough. But it's hard to imagine the Jaguars feel that great about Blake Bortles. He's really the only problem with that team. Other than that, they've got a number one rushing offense, a ridiculously great defense, and the only reason people aren't blowing through the entire schedule is because he's so up and down. So I would be surprised if they want him back, especially since it's going to be $19 million to keep him back for another year. As for Case Keenum, I think his biggest problem is that he's on a team with two other quarterbacks who I think probably the Vikings see as having more upside. Sam Bradford had a really great year before his knee problems. If they feel good about his knee at all, then he might be the guy they want back there next year. But I think even better is Teddy Bridgewater. They stood by his side. They waited for him to get better. And if they think that he's able to play 100% next year, that's still a guy they invested a first-round pick in. And so I think he's probably the guy they'd rather see what they have just because there's a higher ceiling there. Now, if Case Keenum wins the Super Bowl, I think it changes things a lot because that's really the ultimate goal. And if you've got a guy that can do it, then I think you stick with him. But I think he's got an uphill climb.
Okay. So last week we know that the Jaguars, they played off of so much. I guess we can say the chalkboard talk because the teams were you had Pittsburgh talking so much trash about them. New England isn't going to do that. So what's going to be the fuel that's going to push them this week?
I think that's definitely true. They're not going to come out with, they're not going to be yelling for a Mike Mitchell equivalent on the Patriots on the Patriots roster. But they're still, 9-point underdogs, 10-point underdogs?
Yeah, they are.
I think I've already seen two articles in Boston newspapers talking about how the Jaguars don't have any chance. So I don't think it would be that hard for them to kind of find an underdog mentality. So there's still plenty of fuel out there, even if it doesn't come straight from the horse's mouth.
Okay. So I didn't realize that it was some papers out there saying some of that stuff. So maybe they do have some bulletin board material. Maybe this is enough to get them going.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Broncos win back in 96. One of the famous moments there was Woody Page wrote in the Denver Post, called them the Jaguars, and said they had no chance of taking down John Elway's Broncos. So, yeah, I think they can find some motivation through the newspapers.
Oh, you know what? That's very true. I forgot Woody did say that. It was more than Woody. A couple of other people that are now on a couple of other networks said a lot of stuff about Jacksonville at that time and how they weren't going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they found that. And just in general, I don't know that this Jaguars defense and team really needs fuel. They're just a hot team all the time. No matter who they're playing, a October game against Cincinnati, you got Jalen Ramsey down AJ Green's throat. So I don't know that they really need it anyway. I think they're already coming in 100%.
Yeah, that's true. Before these series even started, I had picked Minnesota from the NFC to go. And from the AFC, I said it was going to either be New England or Pittsburgh. Of course, now Pittsburgh's out, so it can't be Pittsburgh. But that was before I saw the way Jacksonville played in these playoffs. That's before I saw how they played. So if I was to change my pick, you think anybody would think that I was a Benedict Arnold?
I don't blame you. I think they're an exciting team. They keep win close games, and it's not an easy test going to New England, but yeah, I don't have any problem with anybody taking the Jaguars. I think it's a good chance at an upset there.
It is. All right, so you live in Arizona, right?
Correct, yes.
All right, you live in Arizona, so you saw Calais Campbell play in Arizona. You see how he's playing his first year in Jacksonville. What's the biggest difference in the way that he's playing right now than when he was in Arizona?
Well, I think the fact that he has a pair of defensive backs as good as he does right now has helped a lot. You know, that whole defensive line is good. He's got so many other pieces around him. So I think that all contributes. But, you know, he's just a monster, really. He's a big guy. I think he's playing around the same level. He's just there's so many more tools that he can't draw all the double teams. There's so many other aspects that teams have to worry about when they play the Jaguars. So they can't just focus on stopping Calais Campbell.
But when he was in Arizona, he had the Honey Badger, and he had mm-hmm. Peterson was there.
Yeah.
But they didn't play to the same to the level that you're getting out of Ramsey and these guys.
You know, I wouldn't say that there's no pieces in Arizona. He had Chandler Jones the last couple of years too as a pass rusher. But I don't think there's a defensive line and a secondary as complete as the Jaguars is, and the fact that they really all stayed healthy all year. That entire defense line, they got Marcel Darius, and they got, you know, Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler and Malik Jackson, who, you know, is making $90 million. So it's just star-studded at every position on the defensive line where nobody can draw a double team.
Okay, cool. Hey, Adam, tell everybody how they can read what you write.
Yeah, SBNation.com. I'm writing at the NFL. And then on Twitter, I'm at Adam Stites. With an underscore at the end of there.
All right, cool. Hey, Adam, I got to get you back on next week. We're going to talk some more NFL. Hopefully we have Jacksonville, and I was saying this earlier, hopefully we have Jacksonville and Minnesota there, because Minnesota Searles played at the high school with me, Bear Creek, and I coached Calais Campbell for 4 years in high school. I was his D coordinator for 4 years. So hopefully I get two guys from each team that I coached in high school.
Yeah, Duval versus Skoll would be pretty fun.
That should be fun. Hey, Adam, man, thanks for your time.
Yep, have a good night.
Hey, you as well. Adam Stites, SB Nation. He covers the NFL.